welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney's Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Have you had a good day? Yeah, had a great day? Awesome. How good is the air conditioning in our auditorium? It's amazing. Let's give it up for the air conditioning system. There you go. Amen. Good job. Keep it coming. That's awesome. Hey, don't forget, it's Valentine's Day coming up. And so you've got to get prepared for that. Amen. Come on. Faith without a corresponding action is dead. There you go. See? And of course, one of the things I wanted to mention to you, just so you can plan, is that we do have a half night of prayer coming up in about 2 weeks' time. I think it's February 16th or 15th, I think it is, on the Friday night. Some more information will come out about that. And then, of course, next Sunday is Vision Sunday, which is going to be very, very cool. And that's Sunday morning and Sunday night. And we have got some amazing things to share with you. And of course, you would have seen in the foyer that our commercial kitchen is coming along. And it's all happening. So before you know it, Danielle Lamb's going to be cooking us full-blown meals on Sunday nights. There's no need to go to Cronulla or to Westfield Miranda. You can have a steak here at church in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, who's with me now? Here you go. Yeah, you got to have one of Andrew Hannah's steaks. It'll change your life. You'll never be the same. Amen. Hey, we're going to get into God's Word tonight. This morning, I preached a message called The Building Blocks of Vision. And I want to continue with that tonight. I actually had an extra 3 points to share tonight. Our lights keep going up and down, guys. Let's just find a nice, happy medium and then just let it sit. That'd be great. And tonight, what I want to do is, as I began to prepare, I realized that I'm probably not going to get through the other three that I've added tonight. We are probably just going to park on the one, and then we will go from there. So just to recap from this morning, for those of you who were unable to be at church this morning we're preaching, of course, around vision, leading up to our Vision Sunday next Sunday. And so number one, we spoke about this morning that a vision will challenge your present reality. And we looked at the life of Nehemiah, and we saw that as God placed a vision in his heart, it challenged his present reality. Number two, we looked at that a vision concentrates your energy. How many of you know that in order to fulfill the vision and the call that God has on your life, you cannot allow your energy to dissipate here, there, and everywhere? You need to concentrate your energy. Ian Thorpe became what he became because he concentrated his energy. Margaret Court became the greatest tennis player in history. Why? Because she concentrated her energy. Vision will cause you to concentrate your energy. Number three, we spoke about vision will cause you to confront your sense of comfort. Vision will propel you. It causes you to look at the things that we've allowed to become comfortable in our lives, and it confronts our comfortability so that we are not drawing back, we are becoming what God has called us to become. We spoke about this morning a number of things. I've actually decided to put them up on the screen around vision, just some vision statements that I wanted to kind of just share with you. We said this morning that vision is like a magnet. How many of you know that's true? Vision is like a magnet. It pulls you into your future. We also spoke about vision is the art of seeing what is invisible to others. Come on, that's true. Vision is the art of seeing what's invisible to others. We also said that vision gives to you a mental picture of what the future could look like. So good. Sight is a function of the eyes. Vision is a function of the heart. We could say that vision delivers you from sight. Boom, right there. Vision takes photographs of the future. Come on, God speaks to Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, and he says, see, comma, I have given Jericho into your hands. Vision gives you a picture. It takes photographs of the future and it brings it into your present. We also said that a vision is measured, how good is this, by the magnitude of its beneficiaries. That's a good one right there. You can dwell on that this entire week. A vision is measured by the magnitude of its beneficiaries. And I've added one more just for tonight. True vision builds the lives of others. If what you are doing does not take people to a new horizon, you are ambitious and not visionary. Amen. So this morning, we spoke about three ways that we saw in the Bible. Predominantly, there are other ways of how people were filled with vision. We spoke about the Apostle Paul, that he had a supernatural encounter with Jesus. And through that supernatural encounter, and you read about it in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. You can read about it in more detail in Acts chapter 26. Through a supernatural revelation, he was called as an apostle to the Gentiles. We also spoke about and mentioned that Joshua, he received his vision through the continuation of the plans and the purposes of God. He served under Moses. Moses died. God raised him up. And there was a continuation in the plans and the purposes of God. So we could say that Joshua received his vision because of association. Anointing comes with association. You got to associate with the right people because what's on their life gets on your life. Joshua associated with Moses, and what was on Moses' life came upon Joshua's life. There was an impartation and he outworked the purposes of God. And we parked on Nehemiah. How did Nehemiah receive his vision? Nehemiah received his vision because he saw something that was broken and he was compelled to do something about it. He saw a need, and because of that need, it moved him. It became like a fire on the inside of him. A passion burned on the inside of him that he needed to do something. He had to resolve it. We spoke about how Nehemiah, when he was told about the broken walls of Jerusalem, that in that encounter, in that moment, something ignited in his spirit. He had a revelation, he had a burden, and then all of a sudden there was this overwhelming awareness that something needed to be done. And that's my prayer for some of you tonight, that God would open up your heart and your mind, that you would have an overwhelming awareness that something needs to be done. The first word spoken in the book of Genesis by God is, "Let there be light." And there was light. I want to declare over you tonight that there would be light so that you will be able to have an awareness of what God wants to do through your life. So Nehemiah was a marked man. He was set apart by God for divine purpose. And that's my prayer for you tonight, that you would have an encounter with God, that there would be an awareness that you're marked by God for such a time as this. The first time I had this experience with God was when I became a high school's youth pastor. It started at the age of about 18 years of age, and I drive past high schools in Perth, Western Australia, grew up in Perth, and as I go past these schools, something would happen on the inside of me, and I would get this overwhelming desire that something needed to be done in these local high schools. And the more I went past these schools, the more the desire grew. I found myself crying in my car. Now, when you think about it, there were thousands of people that drove past those high schools. But when I drove past those high schools, God was doing something in me. Why? Because he was marking me for such a time as this. There became an overwhelming awareness that something needed to be done to reach out to young people to encounter the love of Jesus for the first time in their lives. So by the end of tonight, my prayer is that you would have an overwhelming awareness of what God wants to do through your life, in your life, and we declare over this meeting, let there be light. So let's have a look at Nehemiah and his journey when he had this overwhelming awareness, this vision, this desire, this burden from God. I want to have a look at the process that he went through. Now, we're going to park on one building block. We're going to get stuck there, but it's a goodie in Jesus' name. So it says, when he heard this information, when he had this overwhelming awareness that something needed to be done, it says in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days, I mourned, fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. Now, he receives this information from his brother, Hanani, that the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down. Hanani had the same information. Hanani knew the facts, but Nehemiah was marked by God. And because he was marked by God, something erupted on the inside of him. And look at what it says, when I heard this, I sat down. How many of you know, if you're really upset, you sit down. I sat down and wept. Come on, words, people, help me. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. So let's go to our building block for tonight. And this is where we're going to mine revelation. Amen. Building block number 4. Because we did 3 this morning. I can't count. A vision requires purposeful preparation. Preparation always precedes presentation. Now, Nehemiah has a burden. There's something that's growing in his heart. A seed of life, a seed of a need, an overwhelming awareness has ignited in his spirit. He's crying. In fact, the Bible says he mourned for days. He fasted and he prayed to the God of heaven. Now, you would think ordinarily that when a burden comes from God, when a vision comes from God to your life, that it requires an immediate action. We feel this pressure that we need to do something about it straight away. And if we don't do something about it straight away, then we're missing out on the purposes of God. But if you look at Nehemiah's journey, the Bible says that he prayed, he fasted, he did this for days, and he prayed to the God of heaven. You heard me say this in the past when we explored Nehemiah a number of years ago, that the construction did not start with bricks and mortar. The construction started in Nehemiah's heart, on his knees, in prayer. Prayer is the incubator. Prayer and fasting is where the burden and the vision and the thing that you see in the future, where God shapes it, God molds it, God builds it, God speaks to it, God waters it, and God starts to bring clarity around that vision. When you receive a burden from God and there's something that you believe God has called you to in your future, it's just like the development of a child in the womb. When Alison fell pregnant with our first child, Tori, all those moons ago, we can't rush the development. There is a process that takes place. And if we try to give birth to the vision too early, it's just like giving birth to a baby that's premature. And premature babies, of course, there sometimes can be a great struggle. Visions that are birthed too early, without the proper process, without time, without preparation, without God coming and speaking to it and blessing it and watching over it and for allowing God to bring change and shaping that vision, is literally like giving birth to a premature baby. About 2 years ago, we had a conference here in our church. These people hired out our building. They just had their conference 2 weeks ago, I think it was again. And it's a conference where a lot of church planters come from all over the world, really. And so predominantly from the Pacific region. And so while I was here, I kind of attended a meeting or two. They hire out our building. They just did this 2 weeks ago and then 2 years ago. And I was in the foyer and I just felt prompted to be in the foyer. It wasn't our conference. We were just like happy to help, happy to be a blessing. And I see this young couple sitting over by themselves, got a pram, little baby. And I just felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to go over and say hello. So I go over, I say hello. They don't know who I am because it's obviously not our church conference. And I just start talking to them. So I said, what do you guys do? And they said, oh, you know, we're church planters. I said, oh, cool. Whereabouts have you planted? Well, they've planted a church out kind of Western Sydney direction. And I just began having a conversation with them. And then eventually I kind of introduced myself and kind of told them who I was. And I'm actually the pastor of this church. And just an awesome young couple with the call of God on their lives. And I'm just admiring their faith. You know, newborn baby, planning a church, not for the faint-hearted, well done. And so I said to them, my heart just went out, and I said, you know, I'd love at some point, if you want, that is, I'd love to catch up with you to talk about church planning. You know, I won't be able to give you any resources as such, but what I can do at this point in time is I'd love to talk to you about what makes a church plant successful, and really just impart wisdom into them. So I gave him my mobile phone number and I said, when you're ready, you feel free to give me a call and I'd love to hang out with you. Well, they came to visit. I sat down with them upstairs in my office and there was just an awesome anointing as I talked to them about what makes a successful church plant. I've planted a church in the past, spoke to them about all the things, sideways energy. When you plant a church, you feel kind of like, you know, you have to have everything going. I said, you can't do that. Don't get caught up in sideways energy. Be focused on what God's saying at the time. The men of Issachar, they understood the times. They knew what Israel ought to do. Moses knew the ways of the Lord. The children of Israel saw the acts of the Lord. I said, leaders know the ways of God. The people see the acts. You got to know why God is doing it, what's actually going on. And so I'm just like downloading, like the wisdom is just like kaboom, kaboom. I'm just like dropping it, you know, it's just, you know, God speaks, like I'm giving them all the Horizon Church things, you know. God speaks to Abraham, bring now your son, your only son, Isaac. I said, the fact is he had two sons, but God will only recognize that which is birth of spirit. One day everything will be tested by fire. And what we want is we want to say, God, the things that we outworked was according to your plan, will, and purpose. So we want to, those who are led by the Spirit of God, that, and it's just like boom, 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 you know. And it was just phenomenal. It was a great time to encourage this young couple in the call of God. Well, I didn't hear from them. I said, you know, I'm not going to chase you. You've got my phone number. You're more than welcome to give me a call. So I'm at our ACC state conference up in Port Macquarie, just the one just gone last October, I think it is. And I'm up there and I bump into them in the foyer. And I'm like, how you doing? Oh, Pastor. It's just, we're going to give up. We can't do church planting anymore. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me straight away and says to me, what you're observing is a call, is a burden, is a desire, something that I've placed on the inside of them. But what they've lacked is the preparation. They haven't had the right wisdom and preparation to be successful in that which I have called them to. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says this, "Then the Lord said to me, write my answer in large, clear letters on a tablet so that a runner can read it and tell everyone else. But these things won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed." You see, preparation in the call of God and the vision that God has for us is fundamental. It is absolutely critical that we allow God to take us through a process of preparation. When we give ourselves to preparation, God is orchestrating, He's organizing, He's putting things together in His timing so that what God has in store for our future is ready, it's in the right place at the right time, the right moment, the right relationships, the people that you are meant to build and give your heart to are ready to receive what God has in store. You give yourself to preparation. When I was called by God to plant a church, Allison and I, late 20s, felt the call. We were selling a house, needed to move from Radelaide to Perth. To plan over there, influences Perth. We were struggling to sell the house. It probably took 6 months longer than I thought the house should have taken. It was a brand new house. It was a beautiful house. It should have happened. But God sees the bigger picture. God had it all planned. We were doing the home opens. I was preaching most Sundays. Home opens and preaching on Sundays do not work. They're a bad combination, but we had to give ourselves to it. I was frustrated because I didn't know what God was up to. But during that time, we kept praying, we kept laying a hold of God, and we kept giving ourselves to God's plan and God's purposes and allowing the process of preparation. Well, the people who wanted to buy our house were an elderly couple. They eventually came around. Adelaide market was slow at the time, kind of still is. And the amazing thing was, is they said this to us. They said, "We want to buy a house, but we need to ask you for a favor." We're like, "Sure, what would you like? Would you be able to rent it from us for a period of time so that we can get ourselves organized?" Now, the timing of that, to be honest, was absolutely brilliant because it meant that I had 6 months from the time the house actually sold to be able to step out of the role that I was involved in Adelaide and eventually get myself prepared for what I needed to do in the church plant. We started on that process. God's timing was perfect. We gave ourselves to preparation. Started to research about church planning, reading everything we possibly could. And one day I get a phone call from a pastor in Perth. And this pastor says, "Hey Brad, my name's so-and-so. We heard that you're looking to come to Perth to plant a church." And he says to us, "We currently run a church not far from where you're wanting to plant." He said, "We would love to give you all of our sound equipment. We just want to give everything to you and all of our kids' equipment because the church plant that we've run hasn't really taken off, but we'd love to give you all of our stuff." I said, "Let me pray about that." Yes, the Lord said, "Do it." But all of that organization, all of those delays was not God's denials. What they were was part of God's perfect plan in His preparation. Nehemiah prays. He fasts. He gives himself to deep and intense preparation. Have you ever met someone who decided to run ahead? Have you ever met someone who decided to do it in their own strength and their own ability? The classic example in the Bible is Moses. Moses decides to run ahead of God's timing. He sees a slave master beating up on an Israelite. He gets upset, gets aggro, kills the guy. And all of a sudden, his whole life is turned upside down. Why? Because he decided to run ahead of the will of God and do it in his own strength. And what was 40 years in Pharaoh's court, let's add on a whole nother 40 years in the wilderness of wandering and looking after smelly sheep and doing mundane, boring, ordinary tasks. Why? Because he ran ahead of the will of God. Nehemiah, on the other hand, gave himself to preparation. And instead of being in a wilderness for 40 years, his preparation only took 4 months. So what would you choose? Would you choose 40 years in a wilderness? I mean, I know you're young, but adding another 40 years, that's tough. But I'm sure you'd take 4 months listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and doing it God's way and giving yourself to preparation. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, "For it is God who works in you." Come on, say amen. "Both to will and to do for his good pleasure." It's God who's working in us. It's God who's preparing us. It's God who's shaping us. He is the good shepherd, and he has your life in his hands, and he is walking you step by step in his plan and in his purpose. You have not missed out on the will of God. He is a good God. He has his hand upon you. He's going to bless you. He's going to use you. But give yourself to preparation. The assumption is, if we're not moving ahead, nothing's happening. Who knows that to be true? And of course, it's an assumption. But the truth is that the real work is actually taking place. The real work is what happens on the inside. The real building is what happens on the inside. The call is what happens on the inside. The shape, the change, the additions, all the things that you need for your future are happening on the inside. We had a staff member back in the day in Adelaide who, let's just say he was in the cauldron of shaping in the call of God. Bless his heart. Well, he had the call of God. He had a burden. He had a desire. Now, this is not, tonight's message is not about people who are called to ministry as such, as in kind of what we do in church. We're talking about career. We're talking about business. We're talking about, you know, shaping a nation in every facet that's available to us in Jesus' name, okay? But for this guy, he was called. There was a burden. Well, he comes on staff at our church. I was the, actually, I better not say what department, because that would not be good. And he comes on, and one of the things I've learned in the call of God in preparation is that God takes you through a season where you don't actually operate out of your passion, okay? So he gets you to do everything that you feel has nothing to do with the call of God that's on your life. Can I have a good amen, somebody, right now? So I let it run because it's nice to watch. Sometimes these things are just beautiful to watch, the hand of God. Amen. Come on, someone. And he's doing everything that he feels in his heart is not his shape, not his call. He's the setter-upperer. He's the pack-a-downer. And our senior pastor at the time, he was detailed, man. Those curtains just have to be right. Come on, excellence in Jesus' name. And he's like, I'm a preacher, you know, I've been fasting. He's got fire in him. I want to change my generation. But I'm the one who does all the curtains and the screens on Sunday. What happened to the call of God on my life? Well, I'm watching his preparation. And God's got him in preparation because he's like, nobody believes in my gift in this church. I go to other churches, they see my gift. They see my call. They see my anointing. They know it's on me. But here in my own church, maybe I'm experiencing what Jesus experienced. A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own home. And I'm watching it and I'm like, this is so awesome. Well, what was happening in him was God was teaching him something. And that is, in preparation in the call of God, you learn something that you never forget for the rest of your life. And it's this, is that character must supersede your passion. Character must dominate the way that you feel. Because character in the end is what will sustain you. Character in the end is what will keep you. Character will determine how tall the building can be. Character will actually determine whether God can raise you up in the way that he actually wants to raise you up. And so he's like, Pat, my passion, I should be the next Darlene Check. I've been listening to T.D. Jakes, and the Lord said, you're like T.D. Jakes. But God was teaching him to operate out of character and not out of passion. I've discovered that passion does come and go. I'm sorry to tell you. You might be in the thing that you're passionate about at some point in your life and in your future, but you're going to wake up one day and your hair's going to be all over the place. You're going to have smelly breath and the passion won't be there. But you know what has kept me all these years? It's not how I feel. It's a settled conviction. It's a settled conviction to the call and the kingdom of God. Where was it established in my life? It was established in the place called preparation. Preparation is everything. Preparation is where God uses the season, the inside stuff, where if you were to step into everything that God has called you to step into, you'd be phenomenal, and you are phenomenal. But you're representing his name in the end. And we need to show and declare his goodness and his grace and his glory with what? With accuracy. I think about the times when I was youth pastor, and if I was standing on this platform with that level of maturity and understanding of God, man, I'd be preaching hell, fire, brim, judgment. You know, everyone being like repenting for things that you didn't even do in your life. You're just like, God, help me, forgive me, I'm a sinner. God shapes you. He changes you. And he takes you through the season called preparation. Because you get to see him, and you get to see his kindness, and you get to see his love, and you get to see his grace, and you get to see his mercy. Now, am I into repentance? Of course. Jesus said, repent, be baptized, 100%. But the Bible says it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. Where did that all come? It came through preparation. You see, you never think that when you actually get to where God wants you to be. Come on, who's got a burden? Give me a wave tonight. Come on, who's got a burden, a desire in the things of God? Things that you believe that God wants to do through your life. You don't get there and all of a sudden become that person, right? You become that person now. That's what God's actually doing. He's shaping, he's molding, he's changing, he's working on the inside, and he's getting you ready. Because the call of God's so great upon your life. Give yourself to preparation. So Nehemiah prays, he fasts, he cries, he prays, he fasts, he cries, he prays, he fasts, he cries, and the man does it for 4 months. I mean, that's some serious crying right there. Who said men are not emotional? This brother, he's emotional. Craig, if you could come, please, that'd be great. God shaping him. God showing him what the future looks like. God speaking to him. So with that, when he stood before the king, he knew exactly what to ask for. He stood before the king with accuracy. He knew that the keeper of the king's forest, God had set all of that up, that all everything was getting paid for. He was going to get a military escort. Where did it come from? It came from preparation. In the land called preparation, God, he's a really good chiropractor. Who loves their chiropractor? Amen. I do. There's teachability. He adjusts teachability. How teachable are you? Come on. Because if you're not teachable, well, like that brother I told you about in Adelaide, he went around the mountain, and guess what God did? Took him around the mountain again. And he's like, I'm T.D. Jakes. He's putting up the curtains, listening to T.D. Jakes on his headphones. Guess what? Went around the mountain. 40 years or 4 months, right? And he did that for a long time. Bless him, Lord. Teachability. Come on, are you teachable? What about humility? You know, God just building deep humility. What about surrender? One thing I love about our church, we're a church who just loves to surrender to the presence of God and to the Holy Spirit. Come on, what about surrender? What about forgiveness? Can't lead others if you're holding unforgiveness in your heart. Hurt people. Okay, amen. What about being faithful in the little? It's like, I know you're Billy Graham, and I know you're going to be the next Esther, but just put the chairs really nice. That's how God does it. Don't ask me why. It's just like, just be faithful in the little. How about controlling your tongue? Ooh. Come on, someone say, ooh. Learning to control your tongue. If you're in leadership and you have a loose tongue, you'll destroy people's lives. Why? Because people actually open up their heart to you. They place value on your words. So if you can't govern your own tongue in your own life, and you think you're going to be in leadership and fulfill the call of God and then just be like, vomit, be like, you destroy God's people. Come on. Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat of its fruit. The tongue is so powerful that the book of James says, which is, of course, the book of Proverbs of the New Testament, that it's like a rudder on a ship. What's the purpose of a rudder? No, it's, yes, it's to steer the ship, but more importantly, it's there to take something to its destiny. It's how powerful words are. So come on, how's the tongue doing in Jesus' name? What about, you know, if you're corrected? When was the last time you got corrected? Someone's like, you know, just need to point out a spot on your back. What spot? There's no spot on my back. What are you talking? There's never been a spot ever. All right. I'll tell you, tell these people. I'll tell them where to go. Well, you know what? You've just damaged the call of God in your life. Come on, you've damaged the call of God upon your life. Have a receptive heart. Have a soft heart. This is not a license for abuse. This is not about putting people down. That's not what the spirit and the heart of this church is. This is always a life-giving platform. But come on, we need to be teachable. Give yourself to preparation. I don't know the timing. I don't know when. the whole band could come, that'd be great. I don't know when the door's gonna open supernaturally for you, but what I do know is He's faithful. And give yourself to preparation. Give yourself to the call of God. Allow Him to work on those deep things. Allow Him to get into the foundations. Allow Him to build character. Allow Him to build the stuff in your life that can house the call of God. Because in the end, it's your character that will sustain you. There are many gifted people. They're phenomenal. You see them in Hollywood. And they're now on their 19th marriage. That's not to put down people who've had a struggle with a divorce, because you're loved, you're cared for, and God has a plan for your life. But it's not about the gift. It's about your character. Come on, good character, great character, to house and sustain the call of God. Amen. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we give ourselves to preparation. Lord, even the teenagers that are in the room, we give ourselves to preparation. Why? Because I'm turning my bedroom into a Bible college. I give myself to preparation because time and chance happen to them all. We give ourselves in Jesus' name afresh to your call, your thoughts, your voice, your heart. We surrender ourselves tonight, Holy Spirit, to your call. We give ourselves completely and entirely over to you for your plan, your purpose, your glory, your blessing. We submit ourselves to your will and to your authority. There are people that are here tonight, you are fearful of being led. You need to give yourself again and open up your heart and say, Lord, here I am, lead me, Lord. And give yourself to preparation. So our Heavenly Father, we just ask you tonight that this year would be a year that you would do something deep and powerful in us. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would come and you would reveal yourself afresh, that we would see you for who you really are. We love you and we honor you and we bless you tonight in Jesus' wonderful name. Why don't we all stand up on our feet tonight? This is what we're going to do. Stacey's going to lead us in a little bit of worship. I'll finish with this. How do you know if the burden that you have and the call that you have, the thing that you sense, the thing that's in your future, whether it's actually a good thought or whether it's a God thought? What a phenomenal question. Amen. Well, you see, it's in the process of preparation that if it is of God, it'll get tested. People will try and throw water on it. There'll be those that may come against it. At times, you will even doubt it. But in the process of preparation, if you give yourself and you say, Lord, whatever you want to do, here I am, I'm available. And if in time to come, the burden is still alive and it's still in you and you can't let it go because of the process of preparation, you know you've heard from God. You've heard from God. Holy Spirit, here we are. Come on, if the Lord's speaking to you tonight, and you're saying, I'm giving myself. Some of these things, they've been speaking to me tonight. Why don't you come right down the front just as an act of surrender and worship. Give yourself to preparation. Come on, to preparation. This is not about age, stage. So here I am, preparation. In the name of Jesus, in the name.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day and we hope to see you again soon.